This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov. A few interesting little things. I'm not quite sure whether listeners have been following events in Turkey over the last week or two, but some very, very fascinating political events have been taking place in Turkey, where an opposition leader who was also the mayor of Istanbul has risen up against the Sultan, as he is now proclaimed unofficially, the Sultan Erdogan. And he has been not only arrested, but he was actually stripped of an academic degree in order to make him unavailable for standing as president, because in order to stand as president in Turkey, you need to have an academic degree. And so the tactic that Erdogan used was to strip his academic degree of him so that he was no longer a candidate even to stand as in the presidential election. He was also fired as the mayor of Istanbul. People have come out on the street. So Turkey is in a little bit of turmoil at the moment. And Israel has used the opportunity to attack some targets in Syria that are considered to be very important to the Turkish presence in the northern part of Syria. And that is opportunistic with the political turmoil in Turkey. The situation in Turkey is very, very fascinating indeed. And I will certainly be keeping a watch on that. Not that it's necessarily relevant to our discussions, but of course, Israel's relationship with Turkey is a very fascinating one to watch. And of course, the outcome of these protests in Istanbul, which have been very, very heavily clamped down on, will also be interesting. Just one other little snippet is that Moody's yesterday warned investors of political risks in Israel. How would they have come to that conclusion? It seems such an obvious statement to make. Mm-hmm. But it says Israel's credit rate, obviously trying to justify the credit rating that they have applied to Israel, that they feel reflects the very high political risks that potentially weaken its economic resilience. Having said that, it's interesting that Moody's did go on to say that the Israeli economy is currently pretty strong, and that Israel's institutions remain strong, even though they feel they have weakened significantly, in the words of Moody's, in recent years. No surprises. We've been at war for 537 days, with hostages in Gaza for 537 days, with much internal turmoil about how we're conducting the war and where various people's interests lie. But it's interesting that Moody's also associated the political risks in Israel with its relationship with the United States and how tensions with the US may well have an impact on Israel's economy and on potentially including Iran in a regional war. So all of those things have been factored in. And it seems as if the Moody's at least seems to feel that all of those events are at least remotely possible. An interesting assessment.
Yeah, it is indeed. Going back to the Turkey situation, that's obviously relevant in terms of the support that the Sultan has shown to anti-Israel forces. And the fact that he is going full lunatic, which is what he seems to be, might well be a good thing in the long run for Israel, because he will discredit himself rather than make himself a legitimate enemy.
I think that all of that is very true. And I think when we look at the situation in Syria, which of course is also very relevant for Israel, I would say that one of the big winners out of the change of a regime in Syria is Turkey, because I think that Turkey have managed to get themselves a very strong foothold and with lots and lots of influence in the new Syrian regime. Turkey is very much present in the north. Turkey has a lot of interest because they are, of course, conducting this ongoing war against the Kurds, who have a very strong presence in the northern part of Syria. So Turkey, I think, is one of the big winners in the situation in Syria as things stand right now. But it's going to be interesting to see whether Erdogan manages to put down these protests, because he has come down on it with a very, very heavy fist indeed. He has also previously managed to stamp out protests. But I had the feeling at the end of last week that the people coming out on the streets of Istanbul and other cities around Turkey might be a little bit too much for Erdogan to manage. This week seems to have been a lot quieter. Maybe he succeeded again in putting his fist down and managing to stamp out the opposition against him. But certainly he hasn't endeared himself to the population by the actions that he's taken against this opposition leader, who's now in jail and no longer a holder of an academic degree and no longer the mayor of Istanbul. All of that very fascinating indeed.
The IDF has continued its campaign against Hamas targets in Gaza. What are the latest reports that we're hearing about these Gaza battles?
So I think there are a few things which might be interesting for the listeners to hear about in terms of things that have been happening in Gaza. The first of which is that there was a campaign a day or two ago to target a whole lot of white Toyota pickup vehicles around the Gaza Strip. At one point, a message came out from Gazans to say, if you are anywhere near a white Toyota pickup, get away from it, because the chances are that it's going to be targeted. So it seems like the IDF went on a campaign identifying white Toyota pickup vehicles, whether they had people in them or not, whether they were being actively used right at that moment or not, and they simply destroyed them. It would be very interesting for me to know what the intelligence was that led them to this particular conclusion. But one can only decide from that Hamas has been using these types of vehicles in order to potentially transport people around the Gaza Strip, and also more than that, potentially use them to try to fire missiles at Israel. Because, of course, we did have that situation the day before yesterday, when missiles were fired from Gaza towards the area around the Gaza Strip, Israeli towns and settlements and kibbutzim around the Gaza Strip. And so the IDF wanted to very, very quickly stamp that out. The other thing which has been very noticeable is that about 2 or 3 days ago, a number of individuals were targeted and taken out by the IDF, some of whom were even wearing their press vest as a representative of Al Jazeera. Now, one of the things that we have managed to prove beyond a reasonable doubt is that terrorists who have been operating within Hamas and within Palestinian Islamic Jihad also double up as journalists, particularly for Al Jazeera, and they go around using the protection of the press vest in order to allow themselves to carry out other attacks in their sympathy towards Hamas and towards Palestinian Islamic Jihad. And so Israel has now decided that, world opinion aside, and in spite of some of the photo opportunities which came out showing the press vest bloodied and aside a person who was killed by an IDF operation, there is currently no sensitivity around the fact that that individual happened to be wearing a press vest, because I think that we've now reached the point where either you get it or you don't get it. And if you don't get it, then you're never going to get it. And there's no point in trying to convince you that you should get it. So the point is that Al Jazeera and Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad are highly integrated. They are very, very closely connected with one another. People who are interested to be able to get it will be able to read numerous reports about how Al Jazeera reporters were on site before particular attacks took place, particularly on October the 7th and beyond. And we see that ongoing, continuing even in the situation that we see today in Gaza. So there is no doubt in our mind, and therefore there seems to be absolute full justification to target people who happen to be wearing Al Jazeera press vests. And the attack against these journalists is not only important in terms of taking out people who are terrorists and potentially carrying out attacks against Israelis, it's also important to potentially take out the source of the poison that is being fed to a channel like Al Jazeera from within Gaza, seemingly with full justification and everybody believing every word that comes out of that. But one has to be extremely careful about believing particularly what you hear in Al Jazeera, but indeed in other press as well, because we've now have no doubt in our minds that they are absolutely involved. And as a result of some of these things that are going on, the IDF have continued to carry out massive attacks in Gaza, in particular areas, Rafah, and in Gaza City, and moving people around, civilians around, in order to take them away from the war zone. There is a lot of activity that has been going on in Gaza. Very, very fascinating to follow the strategy that the IDF is following at the moment.
Well, staying in Gaza, let's talk about the protests that we're starting to see against Hamas. How significant are these protests, and how significant is this?
Well, I think that the protests are significant. And once again, we need to take everything that we see with a slight pinch of salt, because not only do we have to question the press who are reporting these incidents, but we also have to question at times the incidents that are often set up in order to look like they're worthy of being reported, when in fact, not only is the news potentially fake, but potentially the incident that the news is accurately reporting could also be fake. So here is a classic situation of where we see people now, which we understand is being driven to some degree by Fatah and the Palestinian Authority from outside of Gaza, but also clearly with some of their people inside Gaza, encouraging civilians to rise up and to protest against Hamas. And so we see some of the placards saying, stop the war, and stop the war. And then if you read down the placard, if you bother to show a picture of the full placard, it also says Hamas out. Now, in Al Jazeera, they've just shown the placard that says, stop the war. And the report says, protest against Israel's attacks in Gaza. Stop the war. Okay. So it just shows you how a situation which is potentially being accurately reported can be manipulated in order to show one particular side of the story or the other. If indeed these protests in Gaza are being accurately reported, and I think that in some sense, people in Gaza are fed up with the situation that they find themselves in, and there is some sort of a protest against the war and against what's happening in Gaza. And I believe that some of it, at least, is being directed against Hamas, who have really caused all of what we're seeing right now, and more directly have caused the pain and the suffering of those who are potentially innocent civilians in Gaza. And I recognize that there must be some innocent civilians, even though many people will turn around and say there is not one innocent civilian in Gaza. And many of our hostages will confirm how people who've been viewed as innocent civilians were actually very active in being extremely evil to them and causing much of their suffering and imprisoning them. And these are the so-called innocent civilians that humanitarian organizations around the world are standing up to try to protect. But let's assume that there are innocent civilians, because there must be. Their suffering has been caused by Hamas, full stop. Not an occupation, not a genocide, not colonialism, as these terms come out very, very easily and flow off the tongue, but simply as a result of Hamas and its strategy and its operation and the attack that took place on October the 7th, the massacre and the consequences of the events that have followed after that. So if there is even a small movement within Gaza to oppose Hamas, then I think that this is a very significant turning point. And together with Israel's taking out of the political sphere most of the political leaders who were part of that 15-man political bureau of Hamas have now been killed. My understanding is that there are two or maybe three of those 15 who are still alive, and the others have yet to be replaced. And out of those two or three who are alive, I think that in the large part, at least two of them anyway, are outside of the Gaza Strip completely, not even within Gaza. So potentially that leaves a leadership vacuum in Gaza and an opportunity for people to rise up and to make their statement against a movement which is now relatively leaderless. Except for the military leadership, particularly Mohammed Sinwar, who is still somewhere in the tunnels in Gaza and could potentially rise up to lead the political establishment as well. At the moment, it is a leaderless organization, and I think that these protests are very, very significant, even if they're just very, very small at the moment.
Mm. And obviously indicating that a whole shift of power, because as Hamas is perceived to be weaker, so people can stand up against their brutality with a little bit more confidence.
I think that's absolutely the case. And of course, because the military leadership are being forced to be underground and out of sight effectively most of the time, and because the political leadership are now absent, and that does create this whole vacuum and an opportunity to rise up a little bit more safely, because what we've seen in the past is that anybody who's transgressed the rules that have been laid down by the Hamas leaders has been very, very brutally taken care of. Not only Israelis, but local Gazans as well, very brutally taken care of. So now I think people are feeling a little more power to be able to rise up and to make these statements.
Anthony Reich, it is 8 o'clock. Thank you, as always. We'll catch Anthony tomorrow morning at 7:45 for the Israel Report.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.